The two SEC lawyers accused of gross abuse of power by a judge in a crypto case have resigned. Good morning. You're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to be that go-to friend for all crypto questions, you better click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. It's another one of those 24-hour periods where Bitcoin's price stagnation is not indicative of how much has happened. As always, we are going to start with Bitcoin, first looking at why the price has been stagnating. Then we'll look at Fidelity Digital Assets' latest report, which says Bitcoin is no longer cheap, before we look at Bitcoin's fees crashing back down to earth. Then we'll move on to a double header about the SEC. Firstly, about the report that the lawyers in the DebtBox case have been forced to resign. And then the SEC asking for $5.3 billion from Terraform Labs and Do Kwon. And then we're going to finish with a meme coin double header with some worrying analysis from ZackXBT and then Shiba Inu doing a private token raise of $12 million. So as I'm sure you've noticed, there hasn't been much movement on Bitcoin's price in the past 24 hours, and so I turned to William Suberg to get the reasons why. So since the weekly close, there has been a tight trading range around the $66,000 mark. So looking at this, the popular trader Marco Johanning points to $66,700 as the key level for Bitcoin to gain some upward momentum. He wrote on X, "Looking at the range, BTC reclaimed mid-range and then sent far from there. However, it couldn't flip the next level at $66,700 so far. That's the key level for today." Now, if we zoom out a little, Fidelity Digital Assets Signals report yesterday had some interesting medium-term takeaways. Fidelity uses something called Bitcoin Yardstick, also sometimes called the Hash Rate Yardstick, which shows whether or not Bitcoin is being undervalued. The previous report had Bitcoin at a positive outlook, but this report has relegated it to neutral. So one of the ways this is determined is by how many days in a quarter Bitcoin could be considered cheap. And the report states that there were 0 days on Q1 where Bitcoin was considered cheap. So Fidelity now has BTC at fair value, but with the caveat that they have some concerns that 99% of wallets are in profit and we may see some sell pressure. But this isn't to be taken as some sign of real decline or bearish sentiment. Chris Kuiper, Fidelity's head of research, said that we are nowhere near the historical extreme highs, adding that this leaves us in a middle ground or halfway point of the market cycle. Kuiper reminded us that historically, a disproportionate amount of price gains occur in the latter half of the cycle. Okay, finally on Bitcoin, I want to color in some more detail on a story from the last episode. Yesterday, we discussed the incredible record-breaking day for Bitcoin that was Saturday the 20th of April. It was, of course, the day of the halving, and it saw record transaction fees spent. Not only did we see $2.4 million in fees spent on the 840,000th block, which means that the average fee for that block was $800, but the entire day annihilated the previous record for Bitcoin's average daily transaction fee. The 20th of April had an average of $128 per transaction, according to mempool.space, which is comfortably higher than the previous record back near the all-time high set in 2021, which was closer to $60. However, since this anomalous average, Bitcoin's fees have crashed back down to $8 to $10 for medium priority transactions. Regardless of this information, the anti-Bitcoin economist Peter Schiff said on X, "The cost to complete a Bitcoin transaction is now $128 and it takes half an hour to process. This is another reason why Bitcoin can't function as a digital currency. The cost to actually use Bitcoin as a currency is prohibitively high for almost all transactions. It's a failure." Cherry-picking the most expensive day in Bitcoin's history, one that was 2 times the previous average transaction fee record, just to make the point that Bitcoin can't function as something that almost nobody is using it as, that is, a currency, feels like the larger failure to me. Nevertheless, Bitcoin isn't the fastest, the cheapest, or the most efficient cryptocurrency to use, so what do you think? Share your thoughts with us on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X and @RKBags on Warpcast. I'm going to do a double header SEC segment as they're more active in crypto than half the projects from the last bull run. Last month, the SEC took quite the blow when Judge Robert J. Shelby eviscerated the regulator for intentionally lying to the court about evidence it obtained to secure a temporary restraining order, TRO, and to freeze assets. The case against the crypto platform DebtBox saw Judge Shelby impose sanctions on the SEC for acting in bad faith in that lawsuit and for, and I quote again here, gross abuse of power entrusted to it by Congress. Not only was this an undesirable outcome for the SEC, but it completely undermined the SEC's integrity, which has already been consistently under siege by the crypto companies being sued and other legal professionals in the space. The SEC, under Gary Gensler, has seen 10-year high actions against crypto firms, and the management of some of these actions has led to claims that Gensler is taking a regulation-by-enforcement approach to digital assets. Well, in a Bloomberg report yesterday, the lead attorneys against DebtBox, Michael Welsh and Joseph Watkins, have been said to have resigned from the SEC in the wake of the case, and sources familiar with the matter say that the lawyers were warned that they would be terminated if they stayed. So it seems as if they jumped before they were pushed. It will be interesting to see if that is the end of it, or if there may be action against the SEC directly. Okay, next up, we have some details in the never-ending Do Kwon case, the co-founder of Terraform Labs. In a recent filing in the US District Court of the Southern District of New York, the SEC requested that Kwon and Terraform pay roughly $4.7 billion in disgorgement and prejudgment interest after both were found liable for fraud by a jury. In addition to this, $420 million in interest is asked of Terraform and $100 million from Kwon. Terraform and Kwon filed their briefs for potential remedies at the same time that the SEC submitted these colossal recommendations, and almost amusingly, Terraform and Kwon went slightly lower. The crypto firm suggested a maximum civil penalty of $3.5 million, and Kwon proposed just $800,000, which is quite the chasm. I'll quote Turner Wright for the next part of the SEC's proposition. In addition to monetary judgment, the SEC proposed barring Kwon from serving as an officer or director of a securities issuer and providing complete details of his accounts and assets. If approved, Terraform would also have a conduct-based injunction imposed on the firm to prevent engaging in essentially the same behavior that led to the massive fraud. The proposed remedies and civil judgment have yet to be ruled on by the judge. I can believe that Binance and CZ could weather such heavy fines, but surely Terraform Labs and Kwon don't even have this much in total. I guess we'll see. Starting with Bitcoin, ending with meme coins. We're back at it. There are two meme coin stories worth knowing at the moment. One of them is bullish and one of them is distinctly unbullish. Let's start with the unbullish one so we can at least end on a high. The independent blockchain sleuth and bona fide Ryzen crypto celebrity, ZachXBT, posted yesterday some analysis on Solana-based meme coin projects that raised funds through the controversial pre-sale method. I'm a big fan of Zach, and he has been outspoken on this topic of pre-sale meme coins, and he's not remotely ambiguous on his position. And in fairness, meme coins are absurdly volatile, with almost all of them falling flat on their faces, so adding in a pre-sale to these highly speculative tokens that are often completely pseudonymous or anonymous puts far too much risk on the table. Are some people just chasing the risk dragon because ordinary meme coins no longer give the same high? Well, whatever the case, Zach's post on X is actually a follow-up from 1 month ago when he wrote, I was interested to see how much SOL was being sent as a result of the pre-sale meta and calculated over 655,000 SOL, which is $122.5 million, raised from just 27 pre-sales. So the follow-up post to this is brutal, but not wholly unexpected. It reads, only 1 month has passed and 12 of the Solana pre-sale meme coins have completely abandoned after raising 180,650 SOL, which is $26.7 million. Would avoid any future projects launched by these founders. And included in this post is a table of the 12 projects that have vanished after raising anything from 1,020 SOL, which is around $160,000, to 52,220 SOL, which is around $8.1 million at the time of recording. This latter token that raised over 50,000 SOL is called I Like This Coin, with the ticker LIKE, and it's by the pseudonymous founder Pokeye.eth, which is P-O-K-E-E-E.eth. The LIKE token launched on the 17th of March with a market cap of $577 million before plunging 90% in its first 8 hours. It's now down 99.2% from the launch price, and the official X account hasn't made a post since the 31st of March, and Pokey.eth hasn't mentioned the coin since either. I do wonder, down the line, how much protection the disclaimer of "this token has no underlying value or utility" really offers, legally speaking. You've got to imagine that some of these meme coins are going to end up in court. In more positive news, however, Shiba Inu, the silver medalist for meme coins and the little doggy sibling of Doge, has raised $12 million from a private token sale of its unreleased Treat utility and governance token. Investors include familiar names such as Cypher Capital, Animoca Brands, and Polygon Ventures, among others, though it's worth mentioning that all participating investors were outside of the US. The anonymous core developer of Shiba Inu, Shitoshi Kusama, said that the VC participation will help the Shiba Inu project expand its network and increase what Shiba Inu can truly be capable of for our community. Shiba Inu staff explained that Treat is the final unreleased token by the popular meme brand that will unlock Shiba Inu's newly announced blockchain featuring fully homomorphic encryption, FHE. The funds will be used to build the Treat platform, and the project hinted at possible features that include encrypted lending platforms, tokenized asset exchanges, and encrypted machine learning models. Okay, that is it for today, so consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. You can also join our community on Warpcast under the channel name RNC. Right, have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.